Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are going in depth with someone I'm finding out I have ties to and I didn't even know. We want to welcome to the studio Amanda Duro. She is here representing her family farm. They recently had an award, which was Excellence in Ag finalist, and this was through the Minnesota Farm Bureau. They are farmers in Hastings area, and I can't wait to learn more about it. First of all, Amanda, great to meet you.
Yes, Mo. Great to meet you as well.
So let's talk about our connection. You are a lovely grown-up, and I happen to know your father-in-law.
Yes, you are a high school classmate of my father-in-law, Bob Duro. So the Duro family, we're a fifth-generation dairy, beef, and crop farm just outside of Hastings, Minnesota. So I married into the family.
So when you say you married into the family, marrying into a farming family is a big deal. Did you know about farming before you married in?
I did, but everyone says I was crazy married into a dairy farm because dairy is that much more work. So I grew up in a crop farm near Fergus Falls, Minnesota. So I knew somewhat what I was getting into, but milking cows twice a day every day is just a different schedule and way of life for on the farm.
Do you know the Bramer family in town?
I do.
Yes, of course.
So yeah, Janet and John.
And they have told me before about farming, how it really is. You just can't get away if you have a dairy farm.
No, you can't get away, but you make it work, right? So we really try to make sure we care for our cows every day and give them the best opportunity. And so we love it. If you ever meet my husband or father-in-law, they're very passionate about making sure the animals are cared for first.
Well, you did get away because you recently were honored for this Excellence in Ag. You were a finalist for that, and you made a trip to Washington, D.C. Tell us about that, and tell us about this award and what was the criteria.
Yep. So through Minnesota Farm Bureau, my husband and I have been very involved from the county to the state level. We served in previous years as on the Young Farmer and Rancher State Committee. And with all our experience in agriculture, we were able to put forth an application that really shared our farm story and our agricultural involvement story. So we were a finalist in the Excellence in Ag competition.
Congratulations.
And that earned us a trip to Washington, D.C., where us and five other couples were able to really advocate what it means to be a young farmer in Minnesota. And it was great to meet with our representatives and senators and really share what a young farmer needs today.
A young farmer, I would assume, unless you did marry into a family or you grew up in a farm family, it's almost impossible to start out as a farmer, isn't it?
It is very challenging. My professional life, I'm actually in agricultural finance. So I have financed young farmers to start from scratch, but it's such a capital intensive business that it does take a lot up front. So, but even, you know, being a generation taking over a farm, that is often the, you know, retirement avenue for the next generation. So there's still a lot of things we add in terms of side businesses and entrepreneurship spirit to really buy into and buy the farm for that next generation.
So let's talk about the Duro farm that you mentioned is a fifth generation farm. How did it start out?
So it started out, it was founded up in Lake Elmo, Minnesota, and then moved to the Hastings area about 50 years ago. It's always been a dairy farm, and they've been expanded and grown over the years as we grow in acres as well as raise our own beef.
And now you are in Denmark Township, is that correct?
Correct.
So is that landlocked, that area, or could you expand even more?
It is an area that there's a lot of competition. There's housing developments, but Gertens is another business that's come into the area. So there isn't a ton of opportunity for expansion. So that's where we look at being the next generation on the farm. We look at different ways to diversify our operation.
So when you said that you have been involved with the Minnesota Farm Bureau for many years, what actually did you do? I mean, do you have meetings and do you lobby? Or what is this?
Yep, great question. So Minnesota Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization. So it starts at our county level. So I serve on the Dakota County Farm Bureau Board, and I have for the past 12 years. And we get out in the community and hear what's going on, not only from our farmer members, but do agricultural outreach. So, you know, just a couple months ago, I did a growing soybeans in a classroom experience with the Pinecrest Elementary School or other things just to connect our community, worked with the city of Hastings through their safety camp. So we do a lot of things to get farmers in the community since there's so few farmers left. But through that involvement, we also are able to just lend a voice in aggregate for farmers and sort of share at both the state and national level concerns that farmers have on policy. So Minnesota Farm Bureau has staff that are all are that are the lobbyists and the policy representatives. So we just really provide, you know, a grassroots base of the voice of what actually is on happening on the farm.
So when you get out into the community, I mean, certainly Hastings is familiar with the farming community because we are surrounded by farms, but yet I don't think an average city folk of Hastings really understands what farming is all about unless you grew up in it. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. And that's where, like, through Dakota County Farm Bureau, we do a lot. And the insurance agent that represents Farm Bureau here in town as well, we try to do things where we're sponsoring, you know, children's books that are really truly agricultural fact-based in all the elementary schools. We've done other contests and experiences to really out there, and we offer, you know, grants to different programs. We were one of the sponsors to support Little Beginnings Learning Center to add a hydroponic garden in their school. So we always looked for ways to really tie that agricultural story closer together. And the best thing is we also offer farmers to come into class or to another experience or community event as our members. You know, you already mentioned Janet and John Bramer. They're members of Minnesota Farm Bureau as well. And so that provides a good way and platform for our community to just tell people the farm story.
So when you went out to Washington, D.C., who did you meet with?
Yep. So we met with Senator Tina Smith, Senator Amy Klobuchar. We met with U.S. Representative Angie Craig, U.S. Representative Brad Finstead, and staff from U.S. Representative Michelle Fischbaugh.
And when you speak to them, what were some of the concerns that you wanted to be sure you shared?
Yep. So it's about to enter Farm Bill discussion season, and it's a little on the early end, but we just wanted to highlight what tools in the Farm Bill really help young farmers.
Like what? What would be an example?
The main one is crop insurance. So crop insurance is our license to operate. So our landlords and our bankers all require us to carry crop insurance to just assure, you know, that they get paid is ultimately what it's there for. But it's a really great tool as young farmers to protect our farm and maintain that we stay in business from year to year. In those years that have more challenging weather, it never guarantees us a profit, but it really serves as a baseline support for when we have some challenges in the growing season.
And how can our elected officials help with insurance?
Yep. So the Farm Bill appropriates the crop insurance program. So we were just advocating that they maintain the program as it is and maintain some of the subsidy that's in place that does support our premiums being paid. It's a really small percentage of the Farm Bill overall in cost, but it draws a lot of attention because, you know, in program dollars, it looks big when it comes to the farm support side, but it's just a really important tool to help young farmers across the country. So it's not just here in Minnesota that it impacts. It's from coast to coast.
So what are some of the other things that are in this farm bill or that would be considered?
Yep. So another thing we also advocated for is modernization of the federal milk marketing order.
Oh, goodness. I don't even know what that is.
No. And you don't need to know. It is how dairy farmers get paid for their milk. So there is a complex pricing system that dairy farmers, how we get paid for the milk, that's all regulated at the U.S. government level. And we were just asking for it to be updated. It hadn't been touched since 2007. And so we really want to just look for modernizing because we all know costs today aren't the same as they were in 2007 with the inflation environment that we're in. So we're just wanting, you know, some adjustments to those formulas.
That is an important piece that only you would know about, but how wonderful that you were able to speak one-on-one with our elected officials about something like this.
Yeah, it was great to just connect with them and share, you know, what it meant to be a young dairy farmer. There's fewer and fewer farms across the country and across our state. And dairy farmers, there's, you know, 50% less dairy farms today in Minnesota than there were even 15 years ago. So it's been a trend that we're just trying to navigate our way to stay in business. And that's one tool that we were just looking to update.
And what do you think the reasons behind that are, that statistic has really gone down so far?
Yep, dairy farming is, at a small scale, is really a way of life. I mean, you're milking cows twice a day, every holiday and Christmas. The cows are cared for first. And so unless you have a really large staff and a large farm, you may not be able to get away. So for some people, they want the flexibility to not be on the farm every day. It's also very a capital intensive business. All farming is volatile and has different dynamics. But, you know, you take the approach of, you know, everything takes a lot of investment on a farm. So it just depends on what's your most passionate about.
So that's why some people have just decided that it's not for them anymore.
Yep. So they've decided, or the next generation, or their barn facilities are outdated or not been maintained, or they're just the big trend for consolidation where families come together and build a large farm. But it's sort of, you know, it's that's another way that's been, there's been a lot of consolidation.
So what's your favorite thing about being a farmer?
My favorite thing about being a farmer is connecting with consumers. So we've been able to expand our farm and direct sell our beef to consumers in the area.
What?
So,
that's awesome.
So it's been great to sort of connect the people in our community with the farmer themselves and provide a product. And our milk goes locally here too as well. So we're really excited to just, you know, connect with people in our communities.
And that's really what people want, isn't it? They want to know where their food is coming from.
Yeah, we always get great feedback because they're like, oh, we didn't know you were this close. And so it's just really great to connect people. And they know every day we're working really hard to provide them a high quality product. And they just really appreciate, you know, being local and knowing a farmer locally. And I know that's where many other peers in our community also get involved because they just want to share agriculture story.
So when you look around this area, I bet you could tick off all the different farms and the different kinds of farms. And you, it seems like because you have dairy, beef, and crop that you've diversified.
Yeah, that's been a way that I know that's really helped maintain us passing to different generations is just taking a diversified approach. We've done a lot of things on our farm, you know, for stewardship and very invested in our land. And then our land grows the crops to feed our dairy cows and our beef cows. So it's really just putting a holistic approach to how we operate the farm.
So when you are working in your day job, and again, you work in the farming industry with that, what are some of the things that you encounter?
The things that I'm encountering, so I support financing large agribusinesses. There's just a lot of interest and investment in that space. There's a lot of, you know, growth in just providing as farmers become more efficient and produce more product. There's more need for manufacturing that product into different products.
Okay.
Like milk into cheese versus being bottled into milk. Or we're also growing our yields and production where we're exporting more products. So there's just a lot of interest and investment across the sector. And there's a lot of great businesses, not only that touch our community, but touch our state and have a lot of interesting things going on to just support the American farmer.
So the American farmer is different, though, in every state. And do all states have farming?
All states have farming. And so actually all 50 states even have dairy farms. So all 50 states have dairy farms, which is surprising. And you
super
know,
surprising.
Yeah. Every state has farms. Everyone has a little different approach. Some states are more specialized in certain commodities. But like Minnesota, we are a top producer of many of the major commodities across the country.
And that's why big companies first started here, right? Like the Pillsbury's, the General Mills. And
yep. And Minnesota uniquely is also where a lot of the cooperative legislation started. So we are home to hundreds of co-ops that are farmer owned. So farmers came together to solve a problem, whether it was market access or manufacturing, and together they put forth investment themselves in aggregate to form co-ops. So if you've heard of CHS or Orlando Lakes, those are the two largest farmer owned co-ops in the country, and they're both headquartered here in Minnesota.
So when you say they're co-ops, what exactly are you saying?
Yep, farmers come together to solve a problem. And in doing so, they each put in money or equity to form a co-op. And it's often one member, one vote. So every farmer has an equal vote, no matter their size. And together they invest in, you know, marketing their product or building a manufacturing plant or just buying power to buy seed, chemical, and fertilizer inputs. So there's a lot of different avenues and there's a lot of unique farmer-based co-ops, but they are really a key aspect of our agricultural industry.
So I guess I didn't realize that Land O'Lakes and CHS were co-ops. How does that make them different from other big companies?
Yep. So the thing that makes it different is they only have to serve really two types of people because their owners are their customers and then they have employees. So every day, and I work in Farm Credit, which is also a farmer-owned cooperative. And so every day, those, you know, the employees of those organizations, all the work they do goes back to the farm. And the farmers are who they serve as customers. So that's the unique thing about cooperatives is it really has this really tight-knit group because your customers and your stockholders are the same people. And then you just have employees that really provide that conduit in return. So
can you still buy into a co-op as,
yes, as okay. a farmer? Yep, you can still buy into a co-op. Some have closed memberships, but they're, and again, it depends on your region and your market that you're approaching. And so it's just another way that farmers come together to solve a problem.
I had no idea about this. What else don't I know about farming?
There's probably a lot.
I think you're probably right. I'm sure you're right, actually. Ask your father-in-law.
Yes. Farming is fun and unique. And
it's more complex than people realize, isn't it?
It is. And it's a lot of work, and it's a capital intensive, but we love it, right? Because farming is so simple because all we're doing is producing quality food to serve you.
Is it simple?
Well... The mission of what we're doing is simple.
Do you look at the world differently because you're a farmer?
I think I do. I grew up on a farm, so I've only been into it. So it's like my first memories are literally sitting on the floor of a tractor, watching the rows of corn go by and helping my dad in the fields. And so it's like I always knew where my food came from. I just knew it had to get to a grocery store for us to buy it. But I always knew there was a farmer behind it. And that's not common today, right? As often as I work in the community, I'm having to explain to elementary school students that, no, you can't just go to the grocery store and just buy milk because a farmer had to make it first for it to get to the grocery store.
Is that amazing to you that people don't know that?
Well, and the most common question that we get at the state fair is, does chocolate milk come from the brown cows?
For real?
For real.
Do adults ask you that?
Yes, adults ask us that.
No, they don't. Yeah.
Some of it asked jokingly. Some of them think we feed them cocoa. But no, it's in good fun. And, you know, it's a fun question. And I think most are joking, but it's a way to start a great conversation about where milk does come from.
I want to thank you for being a farmer. It really is such a beautiful way of life. I know it's such a hard way of life, but it's not lost on people like me that don't do it. We see how hard you work. So thank you for doing that. But what do you want to tell people about being a farmer?
Well, I think everyone has it's in their own best interest to just find and meet a farmer. There's still a lot of us out there, and we really care about connecting with you. So if you ever have questions about how your food's raised, what it means to be, an agribusiness or an agriculture, ask a farmer. There's a lot of misconceptions and things. And so I would hope if you have really key questions about how animals are cared for, or how land is cared for, you can definitely find a lot of information from peers and online. But I'd encourage you also go down to the farm level and see and tour a farm and see what people do and follow their page on Facebook or do other things just so you can connect with them directly and see everything they do behind it. Because as we know, there's so many small businesses that make up our communities and they're all working so very hard. Farmers just are a part of that. So it's always great to see what's really happening behind and how they're running and supporting their communities.
Amanda, congratulations again on your great award. Amanda Duro, and the award was they were a finalist in the Excellence in Ag for the Minnesota Farm Bureau. And I see why. You are very engaged in the community and so articulate with what you are telling us about. Great to meet you. Thank
Great to
you.
Meet you, Mo. Thank
and
you.
Thank you for all that you're doing. We really appreciate it. This was very interesting. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.